Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello and welcome to episode 60, the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my co-patriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. What's up, man?
Hey, you know, not much. Okay, that's it. Thanks for listening.
Cool. Best show ever.
Best show ever. Yes. What's going on? What's happening? What's new in Michigan?
Michigan is a great place. It's a beautiful time of year, and we are in the process of moving as you know.
Yeah.
This is. I think last episode I mentioned that we had an offer and announced. Well, they counteroffered, and we accepted that, so
Mazel
we
tov.
Are under the gun.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, a little bit, except our house wasn't ready to sell.
Right. How much? So how much time do you have to get this thing prepped to go?
Ooh, well, it's been probably pushing 2 weeks now, and at that time we had 60 days, so now we're more like 40-something days left to not just, get our house listed, but get an offer and close.
So you have no contingencies on selling to buy. You have to buy this other house.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, I don't know. It's a little complicated. But anyway, we're just kicking butt because this is an old house with a lot of outstanding house projects.
Right.
And we've just been like busting butt, canceling all personal things and taking a little bit of time off work, working late into the night, later than I ever stay up.
Right.
Just like drywalling and wiring and scraping and fixing and repairing and building and planning and demoing and painting and mudding and sanding and installing and updating and clearing and covering and improving and moving and washing and buying and transporting and cleaning and decorating this house to try and get it ready.
And that's all before like 7 a.m. every day.
Yeah. Like under the gun here. Like timeline is approaching fast. And we're just so much pressure right now.
That is crazy.
Let us dress, man.
Yeah. And just for those who don't know, obviously, how would they know? But your house is like over 100 years old.
It sure is.
Which is awesome in one aspect. But the other aspect is it makes it, you know, difficult because there's those little things. It's a 100-year-old house.
Yeah, that's true. There's so many things. Like when you open things up, you're like, what is going on here? how did many of the previous owners, decide to do it this way? And some of this stuff, is this original?
Like, right.
There's no way. Anyway, what's up with you?
Yeah, not selling a house. Actually, we've extended our lease, so we're going to be here another year in North Carolina before we head back to Russia.
Saskatchewan
or Russia. I'm going back to the motherland where my dad's side came from. No, we're not.
Right.
But actually, last week we didn't do a show. It was 4th of July week, so we didn't put out a show. Last week, actually, I was in SoCal. I took the kids. It was a long story, but my boys were supposed to go. They didn't go, and then we ended up going last minute for a week. It was nice the first couple of days back in Redondo Beach. Really, perfect SoCal weather. And then, of course, I brought the humidity with me. It was hot and humid in Redondo Beach. Crazy. And we were in a house. We were house sitting, which was fantastic. But that house has no air conditioning because they don't really need it. So that was kind of miserable. Then on the way back, we had a 6-hour layover in Fort Lauderdale. Not ideal.
Oh, boy.
Not ideal. But, we fly for free. I'm not complaining much. And I got right back to the swing of things. I went swimming this morning. We were recording this on Friday the 13th. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, wow. What do you know about that?
Wow. Am I keeping you up? And this comes out next week. We're recording a little early, obviously. And then swimming, I'm training. So I did a new personal distance record for the moment as I'm early training. I did 750 this morning, 750 yards. So I'm already tired.
Wow.
Yeah,
You're killing it.
I am killing it. I'm trying to get back to that Michael Phelps body of mine.
Go blue. Yeah.
Wow.
Michael Phelps of the University of Michigan.
Did he really go there?
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. I went to a game like the year that he won all those medals, I went to a football game and he was there and he went out on the field and waved and we all were like, yay. It was pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah. That's pretty much it in the world at the moment.
Interested listeners might be curious to know that we've got some not named yet, but guests coming on our show in the future.
Yes.
So stay tuned. Do subscribe if you're not. We've got some cool stuff coming up.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that in the notes that you put out there for me to review. Very exciting. Right. Exciting stuff, people. Exciting.
Yes, yes. We are committed to making this show better than ever and improving and giving you interesting things every time. We are not complacent. We're not going to just sit back and just bring you the same old, same old, same old every single week.
Well,
new stuff is on the horizon.
Right on. All right. So moving on to the news and this.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
Right on. So only one thing. WordPress 4.9.7 security and maintenance release came out. When was that? Like it was like a week ago?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Have you, it came out on July 5th. So that's when it came out. So it actually does fix quite a few problems. Taxonomy issues, post types, and clear post cookie passwords when logging out. Some widget things. I looked into the notes on it, the release notes. It was interesting, actually. Not all the the dot releases are major per se, but it's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, they're not major. Anyway, so that's in the news as far as the WordPress space goes there.
Sure.
And whoa, a little frog in my throat there. anything else you wanted to share news wise?
What is this, an interview? You got questions for me now? No.
Okay. All right. Fine. So let's go on to changes. So how do you want to approach this news?
This is a friend of ours. It's changed.
You want to say it?
His position.
You want to say it? You want to sing it? How do you want to deal with this?
Let's just, can you give me a drum beat?
Sure. Okay, here we go.
All right, here we go.
Yo, here we go. In the great white northern land, there's a great white bearded man. Proficient programmer. From the rapids grand, writing complex plugins like no one else can. He wrote his own CMS way back, pre-WordPress. A Michigan address, he's not depressed or stressed. A colder climate puts everyone else to the test. But he has no fear, he belongs up here. He wears shirts and sandals 10 months per year. Bearded and bald, not particularly tall. When it comes to WordCamps, he's hit them all. He never fails, yeah, he fills the web with amazing tales. HeroPress got more gold than Zales. When he tries, he always prevails. He looks old and wise, but that's no disguise. He won't tell no lies, one of the greatest guys. An international celebrity and a friend to me with the coolest family. I'm lucky to know, till for one can no be.
Wow. That was impressive.
Cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah, so our friend Topher DeRosha has changed jobs.
Yeah. He's over at Big Commerce as an evangelist.
How cool.
That is very cool. And honestly, that rap was awesome.
OMG, thanks.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was very cool. Yeah, very cool. All right. Anyone else on the move?
Do we know anything? Not currently, no.
Okay. Are you? No, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, I'm good. And no new companies. I didn't launch any new companies this week either.
Yeah, well, launching is not your strength. Oh!
Wow. Yeah. I don't know about that, but I'm moving on.
What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now?
So speaking of lack of strengths, what are you reading?
Still reading The Drawing of the Three by Stephen King.
What you wearing, what you drinking?
I'm wearing a Zapier t-shirt.
Nice.
And just finished a cup of coffee, so I'm back to H2O for the rest of the day.
And just so you know, I like the fact that you said it correctly, Zapier, because if people say Zapier, it's Zapier because Zapier makes you
happier.
There you go. I am wearing a, you probably haven't seen this shirt ever before because I just took it out of the bag today. I'm wearing.
I was wondering, like, what is, where did you get that?
WordCamp Orange County 2018. It was a gift. It was gifted to me.
You didn't even go.
I know. The people like me. They sent me shirts. So they had a Dungeons and Dragons theme. It was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Wow.
So it's pretty cool. And I am drinking coffee out of a San Diego State alumni mug. Go Aztecs! And I'm started a new book last night. It's called No Middle Name. It's the complete Jack Reacher short stories. That's right. I've already finished two Jack Reacher books, and I'm on a third. And I'm blaming these Jack Reacher books and you. I'm blaming two people. You for pushing me to read more fiction, and our buddy Dustin for this series of Jack Reacher books. Because he's read them all. He said it was weird. Yeah, he was like he was listening to me looking at the library somehow. The way Facebook hears us when we say something out loud, and we see an ad like an hour later. Yeah. I was literally at the library 2 days prior, looking at books, just wandering, stretching my legs, and I saw the Jack Reacher series. And then 2 days later, Dustin's like, hey, have you ever read the Jack Reacher books? It was just the freakiest thing. Freakiest thing. So,
yeah. All right. Yeah. And I am wearing an orange t-shirt at this time.
Well, in honor of somebody?
In honor of our good friend, Mr. Good. Hartzler.
There you go. All right. Is that orange? Yeah. I guess it is orange, yeah. It's got it's like a burnt orange.
Mm.
Yeah.
Looks good on me.
Yeah, it does. You wear it well. So, hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
I'm guessing it's time to leave this podcast a 5-star review.
It is that time. Plus, it's questions time. That's right, people. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready, Kyle? Are you ready? After you get done with that 5-star review, here come the questions. All right. So we have the first question is by, how do you say his name? Amit. Amit. Here's his question, and we'll play it here.
But at what point, like when you have a tight deadline, do you compromise the quality of doing something the right way versus just getting it done?
Okay, so it was the question was a little bit longer. We edited it because of just there was some noise in the background. So the gist of it is, when do you compromise quality?
Mm.
Right? That's the gist. Mm-hmm. That's the core takeaway is, if you do, when do you compromise, I guess, really working with clients? You know, there's that trade-off. There's the old line, fast, cheap, or fast,
good.
Good. Pick two, right?
Right. Can't have all three.
Right.
Clients want all three, but you can't have all three.
So
it's impossible.
Do you have some options here, or?
I mean, I am, a part of this show, it's kind of my responsibility to prepare some options for the question. Okay. So yes.
Let me just mention this. I mean, I'll start off with, many, many popular psychologists, including Dr. Phil.
Including.
Do preach and do, explain, and they discuss this a lot, that compromise is a key to resolving relationships and conflicts and essentially to build sustainable relationships. Who are in conflict view compromise as a win-win, where both people get some of what they want. That is an overarching take on it from a psychologist perspective. Do you agree, disagree?
I'm going to go with agree.
Okay, so my option number one is I disagree. Never compromise, charge more, give more. Done.
Whoa. I don't know.
That's my option.
You live by a higher standard.
That's my option. Charge more and then give more. No compromise. Come on.
Okay. We might differ. I say, when do you compromise with clients? Always. When do you compromise with yourself? Never.
Oh.
Don't settle for the client grind. Say goodbye to clients, move on to a better life like I have.
Wow. But wait, if I'm not mistaken, there is a WordCamp talk where you are the opposite camp of this. We will link to that in the show notes, will we not? It's a battle. It's one of the battles.
No, I am consistent. My message has always been consistent.
I said nobody ever.
Never compromise with what the client sees. All right. Only compromise with the code. That is someone else's problem after you inevitably part ways.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, it reminds me, I think, I don't know if I sent you that link last week or 2 weeks ago where one of my developers, he found code in some code base of a site that we are managing. And it said, sorry to future developers. It was commented out. Did I send you that?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah.
I totally believe it.
Yeah. He literally wrote, commented out in the comments, sorry to future developers. Like, here's a hook that wasn't implemented kind of thing,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. But it's when you think about it, you and I both have a lot of clients over the years. How many stay around long term, long enough for you to be suffering the consequences of the compromises you made years ago?
All of them.
How many? I'm thinking it's a small percentage, like one in 25.
Oh, I see. So you're probably saying they don't stick around. So if you compromise on their work, you're like, whatever, you moved on.
It's someone else's problem.
Okay. Now. Okay.
That's the point. Whatever it is, whether the client goes out of business or they
change direction,
decide to not rehire you,
right,
or they decide to never redo what you originally did because good enough, or you decide to not work with them anymore, Because they suck, because they're a typical client.
But what about the MVP of all this, like the minimal viable product? You know, that way you can launch, because that's what some clients, all they need, and that's what they think they need and they want. This is, I need the MVP, we'll launch and we'll fix it later. Is that the wrong approach?
Yeah,
then?
Yeah. My point is,
okay,
usually,
yeah,
you don't get around to fix it later.
Yeah,
you part ways.
Mm.
That's normal. So yeah, compromise under the hood all you want. It's not your problem in the future. The statistical likelihood of you actually having to deal with those problems are pretty low. Take the risk. Don't compromise with what the client sees so that they actually sign off and write you that check. So that's my...
So oversell, underdeliver on the back end? I mean... Yeah. This is awesome. I did not see this conversation going this way this morning, and I couldn't be happier, actually. I was like, how's this going to go?
I mean, I'm kind of serious to an extent about, there's a lot of truth, I think, in the fact that the statistical likelihood of you being the one to deal with the consequences of the compromises made during this project are low. There's very low chance that you will have to deal with the problem.
Okay, let's pull back.
Is the gist of my like snarky joke.
Okay, but I'm curious. There's got to be some stats out there, and I wonder if it's based on scale or size of let's say agency. You know, like let's say, you know, you have people like if you're doing projects between $3,000 to $5,000, you know, 5 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 50. You know, I wonder what is that churn rate of, or what is the value, the life value, or the, you know, the, I'm not sure if it's a value, but how long does that relationship, what's the average relationship length of clients to provider? Is it 2 years, three, five? I'd wonder. And has it changed based on the investment upfront? Now, if someone's spending $100,000, you go to one of the VIP companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're spending $100K on a site, are they going to be with someone, they're going to be with that VIP provider for 3 years, 5 years, or, you know, versus someone who's doing a $25,000 project, maybe be with them for 18 to 24 months? I'm curious.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I would be very curious to know if the churn rates vary significantly across those tiers, because it isn't, there are other factors, like I said, like sometimes the business will change direction fundamentally, and like there's turnover rate within the company. So maybe your contact who loves working with you, mm-hmm. and the project goes great, they move on and do something different, and a new person comes in and they have different vendors that they want to work with. And so no fault of yours, you're not working with that client anymore. Right. That stuff happens all the time.
You know who I think would be a great person to ask this question to? And I want to, we're going to reach out. I don't know if he listens to the show or not. Thomas Sterling.
Thomas. Oh yeah, I'd love to talk. I mean, I love talking to Thomas.
Yeah, I guarantee you him, and right at the top of my head, and also who's the other guy? And he's actually in Detroit.
Anthony.
Anthony, yes, Montebello. Yeah. Yeah, I think those two would have some insight to this specific, you know, type of question that I have. I mean, it's not really part of you know, Amit's question, but I think it's valuable to know.
Yeah,
you know, to share. So we have to reach out to them, see if they listen. Hey guys, let us know what you think. If you don't listen, I guess you'll never hear me say this, but I respect what you guys think. So,
right.
Yeah, and I think because of what they do and the quality work that they put out and the client base they have, I think mm-hmm. I would imagine those two guys would have some analytics and some stats on that.
Right on.
So yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, the other option, instead of I disagreed, never compromise, I also say communicate. you need to communicate the trade-offs, Amit. I really think right. You do. You need to say, look, this we cannot do this piece of it because of your budget, but this is the trade-off. You know, or if you want to meet this deadline, again, what's not going to get built? This happens all the time. You know, obviously,
yeah.
You need to communicate clearly the trade-off and not surprise a client. Like, yeah, we got this done, but you're missing three pieces that you wanted more that were important to you. You know,
right. You're right on with my main piece of advice. What I call that is offloading responsibility.
Okay.
Because if there are consequences down the road, someone is responsible. But if you identify what those will be ahead of time, you can offload that responsibility from you to the client by communicating to them what the problems will be. And having them explicitly sign off and say, I accept responsibility for that, essentially.
Right.
So you can always come back later down the road and saying, you agreed to this. Your site is running slow because you agreed to compromise in this area.
Because you wanted, four sliders on the homepage.
Right. Or, you know, I made a recommendation that we do this extra work, and you vetoed and said we're going live anyway. Or, you know, we have to do a redevelopment before we can get that feature you want because you agreed to do it this shorter way. So you can offload this responsibility to the client if you identify what the issues will be and communicate it to them. They have to accept responsibility for that, but they may be willing to.
Right.
But your responsibility, the problem is by default, it's your responsibility.
Right.
So if no communication happens about those problems down the road,
it's still on you.
It is on you.
Yeah. And so does scope creep. I mean, it kind of blurs into that, because if they, you know, that whole compromise, you're compromising your time, money for additional features and work that you didn't agree to. And then you can't go back and say, hey, this costs more money out of the blue, unless you are clear about it, unless you stand up for your rights. And I get a little pissy on this because this happened to me recently.
Just can't say to a client like, well, we have to do a rewrite because last project we were on a tight deadline and so we took shortcuts. If the client's going to be like, what? Yeah. I didn't know we took shortcuts.
Right.
You didn't tell me.
Right.
It is the onus is absolutely on you to communicate to the client what all of those compromises are and why you have to take them and let them accept it. And then the full responsibility is on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not on you.
Communicate the trade-offs. It's tough. You know, here's the last little thing I was going to say on this is that it's also awkward. It can be an awkward conversation, I believe, to then have to stand up for that or say, hey, look, you agree to this, or Sally and, you know, and Julie, that your PMs agree to waive those pieces of the project so we can get this done in time. You know, you have to keep track of all that communique, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's always an awkward thing. Where they, why isn't this done? Well, because Sally said we can push it to phase four. Yeah.
Right.
It always comes back to it's like it's your fault. Well, no, it's not our fault. It's your budget was lacking. Your budget or timeline were lacking. Really, you know. So I know. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, I hope that helps. I think that's. I mean, anything else you want to add to that?
A couple little things. I'll try and be really quick. One is just a general note. Like, when are we compromising? And generally speaking, in the real world, in like reality, we're always making compromises. Like, I'm working on a team where we don't even have strict deadlines, and we do have the best engineers in the business and a tremendous amount of flexibility. And guess what? We are still constantly making compromises. There are still tons of opportunities that we want to pursue. There are still our vision of what the perfect ideal is and then what's realistic and what we actually do. And there's a big gap between those. So even in a perfect, beautiful situation like we have with the best people and flexible schedule, we still have to make tremendous compromises. This is just like a part of life. And to be good at, whether it's serving clients or working on a product team, you just have to be good at this.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, there are a lot of different areas in which you can compromise. And I think this is kind of an interesting thing to think about. You know, it could be with your design, with your code, when it comes to performance or security, just like there's a bunch of other things that like you can expend extra time on, or you can take shortcuts. Which of those is like the worst to compromise? That can be a tough question to answer, but I think my short answer is probably what you want to be known for. So if you want to be referred as or talked about as like the person who just writes the best code, or the person who like makes beautiful websites, like what are you trying to make a name for yourself as, and your reputation, you know, which you must be building? What do you want that to look like? Because you are what people say about you, as we know. That's
right.
When
you're not in the room, kind of thing. Right? Yeah. Your brand is right. What people talk about when you're not there.
Right. So what do you want that to be? That is the worst area to compromise.
Right. Absolutely.
Whatever that is.
Yep. Well said. Okay. Moving on to question number two. This is another audio question. This one's sent in to us by our friend Dustin.
Where's the most unique place that you've had a WordCamp? You've attended a WordCamp?
Okay. So not really cool. Not really an option question, but just a question like, what's the most unique place we've had a WordCamp? So do you have anything unique, any camps uniquely?
You know, because of the... It's been a little bit of time,
yeah.
And I should have told you more about this in advance,
yeah.
Because you could have done the same.
Yeah.
But I wrote down like all the WordCamps that I've ever been to,
yeah,
and meticulously went through the list to try and figure out which ones were objectively the most unique.
Okay. Okay. See, I went through all the camps I've spoken at. But I didn't have to. That was after you and we talked offline, and you said, "How about we do it this way?" And I'm like, I wasn't prepared for that. So again, communicate better. Otherwise, we compromise on answers. See what I did there? Looped it right back around. But I actually have a couple unique situations of where I spoke. I thought were interesting.
Okay.
So like the Hall of Champions, WordCamp San Diego.
Was it
an interesting space?
No, I thought you were going to mention that one.
But actually, you weren't at that one.
What?
No, that was the year before you came, just so you know.
Oh, so you spoke in an interesting place the next year.
As well, right, Diego. Exactly. I think that might be actually also possibly more unique was I spoke inside of a church.
Right.
At the pulpit, yeah. Literally.
At the pulpit.
During Passover. So right. It was pretty cool. It was
right.
Cool. And
Prince
had just died, right.
And you did that Dearly Beloved.
I did. I started off with Dearly Beloved, we are gathered here today to talk about this WordPress thing we call WordPress. Yeah. It was awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah. So yeah. Those were the probably two things that popped in my head as far as unique. You have anything? I mean, I have two other things I'll mention, but if you want to mention something here.
I looked at my entire list,
yeah.
And honestly, I was like, unique as far as like the event venue, almost none of them really stood out. I have a few favorites.
Yeah.
I really did like the Rackham facility we've used in Ann Arbor on the campus of the University of Michigan. I thought it's pretty classic old building. And like the space that we used for WordCamp Jackson last year and are using again this year, I really enjoyed it. Stands out amongst all the others that I've been to, just because it's like this modern tech space that's like, I don't know, so perfect for the setting. Both of the WordCamp US venues were just like kind of fun and humongous, just like these vast, huge venues were really kind of cool. But other than that, like the actual event venues,
yeah,
they've all been like at college campuses,
or conference rooms, conference halls, yeah.
Yeah, or some hotel room.
Convention center, yeah. So very, very traditional. But I will say my most memorable, people always say, what's the best camp you've been to? I don't know if it's the best camp, but it was a good, I had a good presentation. I thought it went well, but also memorable would be WordCamp Maui.
Yeah.
I mean, because I took my wife and I was in Maui. I mean, come on, people. So
right.
Yeah, so WordCamp Maui was a good camp just for that, with those reasons alone. I mean, it was Maui. And I couldn't go to Maui. And I always could. I tell people all the time, I can't go to Maui for I'm not going to go for the weekend. I'm going to go for at least a week. I can't go to Maui for a week without taking my wife. Right?
Yeah.
So there's
kind of a no-brainer.
Right. I mean, it was a great week. And it was a good camp, too. It was, I mean, really one of my favorites.
Go ahead. The question that I was thinking a little bit more on is like party venues.
Oh.
Like the actual event venues. Most of those are like we just mentioned, like all yeah. kind of the same convention yeah. centers and mostly, yeah. colleges. But after parties and speaker dinners, some of those have actually been pretty cool.
Yeah, no, totally. I'm just looking at a list here that I have of stuff I've spoken at.
Like each WordCamp US has done a pretty good job going somewhere kind of neat.
Yeah.
Like at Nashville last year was at that fun hands-on museum.
Right, that was very cool.
In Philly, the Natural History Museum mm-hmm. we had was super cool. And we did an escape room for our speaker dinner in Jackson last time, and everybody still talks about how much fun we had.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't go to that one. I'm sad. Yeah, now I'm sad.
Couldn't make it.
Dang.
Couldn't make it. Of course, a lot of them were just at like, you know, a typical bar.
What was the after party for Ann Arbor 2016? Where was that? Was that
16?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was at one of the bars there. I forget which one.
I don't know. That's the problem is you go to so many things. It's like, you know, and if it moves around, it's hard to remember. Like Kent has always been at the bowling alley, right?
Right.
So,
yep.
And then like WordCamp San Diego, Orange County after party is always at Dirty Nelly's, which is a place, and they do karaoke. And when karaoke starts, is when I leave. It's
great. San Diego, they had the speaker dinner at like the Firehouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was a fireplace and that Firehouse. And then the after party, I don't remember. It's kind of sad that we forget.
I know.
Let me ask you a quick question. Here's a quick personal question off of this question. Do you ever get a little hesitant on going to speaker parties? Like, are you ever like...
Hesitant in what way?
Like, do you belong there? Like, I guess that whole, you know, like, do you feel like, I guess, imposter syndrome, I guess, is the question. Like, you know, you show up at a speaker party. I don't know. Do you ever feel like it's... Yeah.
A lot less...
Over time.
Than I used to.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Same thing.
The first few times, for sure, very much did. So much did. Like, the second time I ever spoke was at WordCamp Chicago 2014. And that had a pretty stacked lineup at that WordCamp, for sure. So there's everybody there that I followed and knew. Mm-hmm. And I was like a newcomer, nobody. And absolutely, I felt imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
But I had a great time and made a bunch of friends.
Right.
And I felt it less and less as years go by. And now, I don't speak that often at events where I'm not kind of, I don't know, a part of that community. So the last time I went to a speaker dinner where I didn't know practically everyone, it's probably a couple of years ago. I don't even know when that would have been.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I think my first speaker party that I went that I didn't really know a ton of people might have been Ann Arbor, maybe the first year I went to Ann Arbor. I mean, I knew you, I knew a handful, but I didn't know like a ton. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe people knew. I don't know. It was just weird. Not weird, but like I don't. I mean, the West Coast. I knew more people on the West Coast than I did on the East Coast. I think part of it.
Right. Obviously,
you know. So I think that
now I pretty much know everybody though.
Yeah, of course,
so
yeah. My least favorite venue, honestly, at this point would be I went to the Dayton Library. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Dayton Library was awesome. Actually, that was a neat venue.
It was
very modern, very nice library. I did like actually that library. I liked that venue. It was cool. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, that was where, you know, Dustin, who asked the question, was the lead this past year. So
true. Yeah. Yeah, they've done a good job at Dayton.
I haven't done Dayton. I mean, this is the first time I did Dayton since what did I do? It's on my calendar. 2015. So I missed 2 years. I think they missed one of them. They missed 2017, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. And I missed one of those too, because it was the same weekend as Pressnomics.
Oh yeah. Right. All right. I think we're good there. Thanks for the question. And now we're going to move on to deletable history as our segment. And this is interesting. We don't have a sound effect. I looked up. I was trying to create one real quick, just so you know, like a little bumper. I didn't like what I had. So I'm going to bring that back next time. Seriously, it was just bad. I would want to delete that loop that I did. So
you could have just played that as your segment, as your answer to the question.
Unfortunately, I tossed the entire project file. I was like, you know what? This is not worth keeping. So
that is the worst. You've got to adopt my approach, which is this sucks, but I'm going to share it anyways.
Okay. Yeah. Well, next time, maybe.
Well, this was a total failure. I guess I'll just still share it.
All right.
That's
so
everything I do in this show.
All right. So here is, deletable history. You want to explain this one before I describe it?
Nah.
Okay, so Kyle has shared. He has a website. It's on Blogspot. First and foremost, can we delete this site? Okay,
and this was my primary blog for years.
Right.
I eventually moved it to WordPress, but technically the Blogger thing still lives there.
Yeah, so it's still there. It's a site to where he can showcase many of his creative projects. This is so good. This is still going in the show notes. All the different flyers and graphics and stuff he had done for different jobs and different purposes. And we're going to start from the bottom and go up. There's a flyer here for a Labor Day sales event, TGA sales event. It's called the Janitorial Agency. It looks like it's a car lot, like a used car lot sales flyer, but it's not. It is excessively red, white, and blue, and green, because green makes total sense in Labor Day. I guess it's part of the logo. I mean, it's a part of the color scheme. A lot of text, a lot of stars and stripes and bangles for Labor Day. It's not even like 4th of July, if you think about it. It's like, why does Labor Day have to do with stars and stripes? I don't know. I also like this. I like the text in here. 0% APR plus up to $2,500 basic aggressive premier programs. Some text, and then it says or capitals get huge company rebates. I'm wondering why is or the capitals there? Just the typography choices were interesting to me.
Okay. I don't know.
All right.
And just using like every effect that Photoshop offers.
Italicized, curved lettering, following a path of an oval. It's
beveling every shade.
Beveling everything.
Drop shadows all over.
It's quite
raining dollar bills, raining money.
Oh yeah,
in
raining
the
money. Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, from that one, I want to jump up to this other one where you did a flyer. There's two more I want to talk about here. Oops. Here's in honor of Black History Month, African American genealogy. There was a discussion, I believe, at the Carnegie Library, Sargent's Auditorium. I just love the fact of the use of papyrus. There's that.
This was a long time ago.
Yes. Okay. It was like February. Okay.
Right.
Does it actually say a year? So you have the date, February 20th. Actually, it was February 20th. I kind of made that up. But February
20th. Oh, wow.
But it doesn't have the year, which is unfortunate.
I wonder what year that was. Maybe 2009 or 10.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other one I want to mention here, which I think is one of my favorite, one of these two. Well, I'm going to do two more. Creating historic dolls costume. This is Jackson District Library. There was a thing February 27th, 2010. Yeah, that's just scary. So these dolls are floating in this room. Like, real quick. There's like a halo effect around their heads. Why?
I can't explain what I was just playing with Photoshop as a teenager.
Yeah.
And they were like, can you make a flyer? And I was like, oh, I just got Photoshop on my machine. I could fiddle around with this. Oh, cool. I can make shapes and I can like lower their opacity and reshape them, resize them. And
yeah. Were you paid for this? Was this like part of your job?
And not like an official thing, but it was like, yeah, we've got this stuff to do in our department. You want to help us out?
All right.
Sure. I'm learning Photoshop, so I'll make some flyers.
Okay. I do like the fact that you threaded some fabric or threaded through the needle both times. That's kind of. But what's interesting to me is that you have the fabric, the thread going through the needle on the bottom needle. The fabric's going up. It's floating upwards. It must be helium induced. If you think about it, it should be following downward. Okay. Mm-hmm. And lastly, this other one here I'm going to mention is the basketball at your library flyer. I'm just confused at, I see. Okay. So it was a book signing,
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Cause it says Jack Riddle Losing Season. I guess that's the name of the book. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot, again, drop shadows everywhere. Not just a drop shadow, but on the font on top of the basketball, it's a blue font with a white drop shadow.
Yeah. So, that was kind of hard to read.
Very hard to read against an orange ball, right? An orange basketball. So, some impressive portfolio pieces there.
I don't know. For some reason, I thought it would be wise to create this page that showcased everything I've made in Photoshop to just demonstrate my skills. Imagine that. I didn't get hired for any design positions.
Imagine that. Yeah. I'd hire you. I think you're just a nice, good person. And you have
shucks.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for your deletable history. I'll have to find some of my old portfolio pieces. I'm sure I have some that are just also equally bad.
Stunning.
Stunning. Yeah. So my deletable history is there's no proof of this, you know, in digital format because it happened so long ago and it happened in person. I just want to share with you that I want to delete my answers to the questions when I was asked being interviewed for a job, specifically two jobs right after college. Okay. I want you to ask me that first question. Do you see that in the show notes?
Yes,
okay,
I do.
So you can be the interviewer here, and I will just answer the way I answered it, and I will be completely honest and truthful.
All right.
And
let me get into character.
Okay.
All right. Describe my character's motivation here.
No.
So I can get into
it. You're looking to hire someone to do a job.
Okay.
A salesy thing. Sales and telemarketing a little bit.
I'm just getting in that mindset. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you for coming in, Mr. Silver. Where do you want to be in 5 years?
Oh, not here. I'm thinking about being on stage or being a stand-up comic, doing some modeling.
What?
That is what I said. I wanted to be an actor. I have a degree in theater. I wanted to act. As simple as that. I literally said, not here. I'm looking to be an actor. Oh my
god. Okay.
Yeah. That. I. So, go figure. I didn't get that job.
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask me the second one. Also, a similar similar company, same industry, but you know.
Okay. Here we go. Hey, Mr. Silver, why do you want to work here?
Oh, actually, I don't really want to work here. I just need a job.
Oh.
I was 22 years old. My sister asked me how the interviews went after this happened. And I told her, she goes, you said what? And that's saying nicely what she said to me. She actually probably lambasted me in some foul language.
You were old enough to know better.
Oh my gosh, clearly. I don't know what I was thinking. I just didn't want I didn't want any one of those two jobs. I just needed something because I was living at home right after college a little bit and for a few months until I moved to San Francisco. Yeah, it was just not good. Just not a good time. Not a good month of interviews, let me tell you. Those are the only two times that I actually spoke. You know, you're supposed to, you know, not tell them what they want to hear. That's what people say, you know, but I was young and just kind of naive as far as I said, I don't want to be here. I've seen a job. Yeah.
That makes me laugh. That reminds me of one of the first times that I interviewed at the library. And my dad always brings this story up because I thought it was so funny. But I was still a teenager too. And I was sitting in the library waiting room looking forward to interviewing for a job that I really wanted. And on the wall was the library's mission statement, which is like 4 or 5 sentences long. Kind of verbose mission statement. And so they had me waiting a long time. So I like memorized it. and then like,
I know where this is going.
One of the questions that they asked early on was something about like, what do you think the purpose of the library is?
And you repeated the mission
statement. And so I like looked thoughtful and was like, you know, I think it's, and I can't remember any of it right now, but I just recited word for word, the mission statement. And they were just like, okay. And just took notes on their paper. Like, nobody said anything or even probably recognized that that's what I said.
Actually, just so you, just
I think
you know,
I got the job, actually.
The mission statement was working together to create and promote a healthy community through disease prevention. Oh, that's health. That's the health department. My bad. That's actually even better. All right. I'll skip that one. So there you go. There's some deletable history from my life, man.
Yeah.
I did not have the best interview skills. Let's just go with that. compromising with clients and interview skills. That's this topic. This week's episode. And with that, we should wrap things up.
Right. Well, this has been fun. It's time now for us to adjourn and end this particular episode, which is episode 60. 60. I can't believe we made it to 60 episodes. Guess what comes after this? Next Wednesday, we're going to be releasing episode 61.
Wow.
That's going to be an episode even better than this one, if you can even imagine that.
Crazy.
Guess what follows 61? Episode 62 is going to come out the following Wednesday. And that episode is going to be even better than 61, which is even better than this episode. So you see where we're going? You've got to subscribe. And you know what? While you're at it, maybe a 5-star review for this podcast would be kind of legit.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be motivating for us.
It would be.
We just like put everything we have. I mean, we're laying it all out there.
That's it.
We're holding nothing back.
Nothing back.
Nothing at all.
Nothing
except
at all.
The ending of this episode.
That's what we're holding back. All right. On that note, you can find us online. Kyle's over at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm over at Twitter on Hey Adam Silver. And we are over at @get_options on Twitter. And we're over on SoundCloud for all that rap music that you guys so much love. That was such great English grammar and speaking ability.
Word.
So we're on SoundCloud. We're @get_options as well. And with that note, I think this is like a high C. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.